Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
All right, good morning, everybody. We are in the week where you want to know a little bit about should Christians smoke and drink and go to R-rated movies. And so we're going to approach this very practically today. And in fact, we thought it might be really good to have maybe a little bit of just a little help. I mean, because really, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. But that one was a little bit. I just have to tell you, I've already had one service of this, so I just got to tell you, oh baby. All right, I'm telling you, it's been a while since I've done this kind of stuff, and so I always got a little Jack Daniels here for you. And because it's really not that big of a deal if whether Christians drink or smoke or whatever they want to do. Because, of course, as a Christian, it wouldn't bother you if your pastor came to church and, you know, and just. You know, just it's not that big of a deal, you know. What? It's interesting, isn't it, that in church people are like, dude. I mean, really? I mean, you know, how many of you, for example, you know, how many of you love watching the Steelers games? Okay, we play tonight, right? How many of you love the Steelers? All right, salute. Oh. How many of you enjoy watching the Steelers game? All right. We are going to get into the Word of God now. I want to talk to you about these kind of issues in people's lives. What does the Bible say about it? And let's look at some of the realities of the Scripture about these issues in our life. Let me read you out of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Well, let me try it this way. Maybe this wouldn't be much of a deal to you, would it? From Hebrews 12, verse 1. What? This is just a building. The church is not a building, it's people. You do know that Jesus' followers didn't necessarily build the spot you're in. Have you been around construction, guys? I can tell you Jesus' name was mentioned in here a lot before we got here. It's interesting, though, that this, like in this setting, people are kind of a little bit, and listen, if you take a picture of this and put it on social media, please put some context to it. Okay, I don't want to get a letter from I know why I couldn't come to that crazy church. Just do me a favor, okay? Just don't put something on there and say, our pastor, man, he's awesome. Okay? Please don't do that, okay? But here's the deal. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us this. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares or entraps us. And literally it means it thwarts the racer. And let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Now everybody say weights. Now say sins. There's a difference between weights and sins in the Bible. Now, a sin is a transgression of the word and the law of God. That's clear. Stealing, killing, adultery, fornication, fill in the blank. Those are sins. Those are clearly right and wrong. The Bible doesn't give you any kind of, that's just, it is what it is. But the Bible doesn't tell us that we should lay aside only the sins that can easily entrap us or snare us, but to lay aside the weights. There is a difference between a weight and a sin. What may be a weight to me may not be a weight to you. What may be a weight to you may not be a weight to me, but the Bible tells us we are to lay it aside. But he puts it in a context. He says, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses watching us run this race, he's referring to those who have died before us that are in heaven, in the grandstands of heaven, observing your spiritual race. He says, because this life is so short, because someday you will be in those grandstands, He said, you need to understand you're running a race and there is something trying to thwart you off course. There's something trying to drag you away from God's purpose for this very short time you live on planet Earth. And then he said this word, it can easily do it to you. Does anybody other than maybe me have experienced how easily you can get off course? How easy things can get so overwhelming in your life and busy in your life or whatever in your life that you're dragged and you're driven off course. And that course is the one God ordained for you. So let me say this. This is not a sin. It's not. It's a weight to people, but it's not a sin. What? Why does that bother? See, again, think of how that bothers you. Like, come on. He wasn't going to, if he lit it, I would light it and smoke it, but the fact of it is, I would choke and I would not be able to finish the service. But I can tell you one thing I can do to finish the service. Salute. I got to tell you, after the 9 o'clock, this is getting rough. I got to go easy. Let's just say it's been a long time since I've seen Jack. Anyway, y'all still with me? Behold, I need that. Maybe I should sit down for the 11 o'clock service. You've got to understand that there are things in our lives that can easily thwart our race. People often ask me this question. Hey, what am I allowed to do as a Christian and still God be happy? That's like a major question you get asked. Is anybody married? Let me ask you how this would work for you in your relationship. You're married, your spouse comes home from work and says to you, honey, you know, at work, there's this person that really, I have to be honest with you, we started talking, they're kind of really attracted to me, I am to them. Well, you know, we haven't done anything yet, but I'm just curious, how far is too far for you? I mean, we talk and I mean, we flirt a little bit. Is that okay? And you know, we want to have lunch, but we were kind of thinking maybe we should go out for lunch because we really enjoy each other's company. Are you okay? How far? Can we make out a little? What base can we go to? How many of you know the conversation got ugly when you said, hey, there's this person at work? The question as a Christian is not what can I do? The question you really want to be asking as a Christian is, am I living such a life of surrender before God that I'm really not looking for loopholes? But I'm looking how to develop my love relationship with God, first understanding how much He loves me, and then responding to that love and loving Him back. See, so many people miss, it's actually, the question is deceiving. Should I? See, the cycle in our lives, because the fact of it is this, everybody has sins and weights that try to come on our lives to snare us, to hold us down. But here's the deal. They never, ever, ever satisfy. They only lead you to greater darkness. There's only one thing that sets a human being free, and it's a relationship with God through Christ. Now, that's very vague, though. What's that mean? It means in your everyday life, you should have time with God. In your everyday life, you should have a devotional life. In your everyday life, you should be putting the Word of God in your life every day. It's the only thing that will make you free. The weights that were... Now, I can tell you this. It is not a sin to drink alcohol. It is a sin to get drunk, according to the Scripture. And I got to tell you, it only takes a few of these, and you're struggling. So I can put back 10 of those and it doesn't bother me at all. Well, you are a very talented alcoholic. Can I tell you, I've also met people that fight very hard for the right to do these things as a Christian. And I found most of those people have a drinking problem. I don't have a drinking problem. Ask your spouse. Well, they're wrong. Just us. Come here. They're not. If you think you have no issue with these things, then abstain from them for 6 months. Just say, oh, you know, it's still a big deal in my life. 6 months. You'll find out very quickly how much of this has become a weight to your life. You know, look, again, I'm serious. It is not in the Bible that you can't smoke. Now, the Bible does talk about not defiling our bodies. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, you can defile your bodies and my bodies with, you know, about 12 pieces of pizza, too. Right? So it's not an issue of, weight to one person may be weight. It may be eating. Is there anybody here like me that when you get stressed, you deal with it sometimes with a fork? Does anybody have the spirit of fork come on them? Well, your deal may not be a cigarette. The question is weights and sins. Every one of us have to deal with these issues. The cycle of these things only can be broken in a relationship with God and his people. It's why I encourage you so much to get connected to your church. Not in this superficial way where you show up and you leave, but connected deeply where you're getting the word of God in your life on a daily basis, and then you're making coming here a priority in your life. You're making it a priority for your children. Next Sunday night, Silver Ring Thing's going to be here. Silver Ring Thing is an international movement of a ministry that is teaching students and young people how to bring their sexuality to the feet of Jesus. How to deal with the issues of sexuality and sex before marriage and everything that comes with it. Now in our culture, and they are helping thousands and thousands and thousands of students. I'm so enthralled with what they do. I'm on their board. I serve as their chairman of their board. Because if this world, if our kids have ever needed to be able to bring Jesus into their life, in an area of their life, it's in this area of sexuality and how we handle, because everybody is a sexual being. How do you deal with that in a way where you don't get trapped? We live in a world where addiction is overwhelming. It is epidemic. Everything, and we talked about, and we mentioned R-rated movies. Let me make it clear. Any movie where you are watching somebody have sex is wrong. It's not hard to figure that one out. Jesus talked about looking upon someone that to lust and all. It's just, that's clear. Okay, look. Now, R-rated movies, if you're going to go watch The Passion of the Christ, rated R. Saving Private Ryan, rated R. There's some obvious, you have to use some sense. But if you're going to see 50 Shades of Grey, you got an issue. And do you know how many Christians go watch stuff like that and then even consider maybe we could experiment in our marriage? Can I encourage, if you're going to experiment, don't do something stupid. You know how many people have, this is a prominent question among Christians. Can we watch porn together if we're married? Seriously, that's a question. Can I tell you that you've gotten so far off track that you don't even understand what true intimacy is in a marriage? Intimacy in a marriage has nothing to do with sexual gymnastics or tying someone up. Most people in the marriage, is the only reason they want to tie someone up is so they won't leave. It's crazy. You talk about weights and sins. You want intimacy in your marriage. It doesn't start in a bedroom. It starts right here in your heart and preferring someone more than yourself. Because sexual gymnastics, like natural gymnastics, you can't do them very long. You don't see 50-year-old men and women in the Olympics doing gymnastics, do you? You see them on the side coaching. And they got a little belly. The reality of it is that it's so easy. It is the Bible. Listen, here's the key. These things can easily beset you. And you cannot have confidence in your flesh. 1 Corinthians tells us this, chapter 15. Says, don't be misled. Bad company will corrupt good character. Your children are desperate for you to be a parent right now. If your children and grandchildren ever needed you to step up and throw aside the weights that so easily beset you, it is right now in this culture. Because the culture's not playing games. It's going for your children and it's going for them. And it's want to take them down. And you're going to have to make a decision as a parent. Do you know how many Christians let weights beset them and they don't even come to church? Weights beset them. Next Sunday night, do you know that you have sons and daughters that should be in here? There'll be about 800 to 1,000 teenagers at the event with Silver Ring Thing. It's an incredible multimedia thing they do. It's remarkable. Do you know how many students won't be here because weights have been, it won't be a sin. It'll be a weight that their family, that's no big deal. But do you know 1 in 4 teenage girls, 16 to 24 today, have the HPV virus in their body? You'll hear a lot about HPV and Gardasil and the vaccination and all that today. But you'll notice in all the advertisements, they never mention it's a sexually transmitted disease because it's not appropriate today. It's not politically correct to attach behavior with an outcome. 1 in 4. And if you have it and your body doesn't naturally eradicate it, or you don't get treated and you can have it, there's no symptoms often, the likelihood of you getting cervical cancer skyrockets. 1 in 4. 1 in 7 people in our nation today have an incurable sexually transmitted disease right now. That's crazy. That's an epidemic that no one talks about because it is attached to behavior. And our culture says we want to make everything okay, even if it kills you. And mom and dad, this coming Sunday night, you will have a decision to make. Can I tell you that if Jesus gets involved in your child's sexuality, it'll be one of the best decisions and the best opportunities you ever had in your life to make sure their life turns out right. But people get so easily distracted. The weights and the sins. This Wednesday night, Larry Hutton's going to be here. It's our first Wednesday. And Larry has a ministry where he prays for the sick. And God manifests through his ministry through the gifts of healings, even the working of miracles. And it's going on. It's like a 20, 30 year track record of this. And he's going to be ministering from God's word. Can I tell you, everybody in this room is desperately wanting to know the healing power of God. And if you don't right now, you will. But you have to make a decision. You're going to have to make a decision. What am I going to let come in front of my race? And see, this is not about right and wrong. Because I tell you sincerely, drinking a beer is not a sin. Health-wise, you're better off with a beer than a Coca-Cola. But can I tell you, I've never gone to the hospital where somebody's child was brought in pieces over too much Coca-Cola they drank. See, the reason I'm so adamant about these things is I've watched the devastation up close. I've done the funerals. I've been there when the parents are trying and they won't let them in to see their kids because their bodies are so mangled that they won't let them in the room for this. For this. You see, it isn't a weight to everybody. It really isn't. In fact, Jesus made it very clear about the difference between weights and sins. And he had some very strong things to say about laying aside the sins of our life and trusting him to be able to deliver us. It's why coming to church is important so that you can get connected, not just to God, but his people. It's why making attendance here where you come and get surrounded by the word of God and the people of God, it matters. You aren't winning this battle on your own. And neither will your kids. Listen to what Jesus said about it, the gravity that he talked about when the issue of sin is not laid aside in our lives. He said in Matthew 18, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life maimed or lame rather than to have 2 hands and 2 feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Say it out loud, everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life with 1 eye rather than having 2 and to be cast into hellfire. Say hellfire. That's what Jesus believed about eternity apart from God. So I don't like what he believed. It doesn't matter what you like. What is reality before God is reality before God. He's not saying if you have a sin in your life, you go to hell. He's simply saying he said, if something is causing you to miss out on eternal life, it is better for you to cut that off your body. He said it would be better for you to enter into eternity without Christ. If it's your hand, you'd be better off cutting it off. If it's your eye, pluck it out. He's trying to show you the severity of these issues in our lives undealt with. In this context, he's talking about an eternal application of our decisions. But in reality, it's so easy, the scripture said, so easy to be ensnared through the weights and sins. I'm gonna show you a video of Donald Trump in church. Yeah, didn't see that one coming. In fact, I'm gonna show you something that Donald Trump says about this issue. Can we all agree? Now, nothing against Donald Trump, and he's never pretended to be this. Can we all agree that he's probably not considered like a great church person? Are we safe there? Everybody okay with that? No matter what you think about Trump and Clinton and all that, it's safe to say that Trump is, Jesus has never been, Jesus be the center of my life. I don't see him singing that. But I find it amazing that Donald Trump speaks about this issue with more clarity and wisdom than people who have been Christians for 20 years. And now you say, are you going to show one of Mrs. Clinton? Well, we would, except I emailed it to the staff and it somehow got deleted. I don't know how that happened. Look, I'm just teasing both. Look, if you don't laugh about this election, you're going to cry. Okay, so all I'm that was a joke. He said, well, I love Mrs. Clinton. Then pray, God bless you, between you and Jesus. But I'm just having some fun. Is it all right to have fun? All right, then salute. Watch the video.
But one of the things that people ask me, and they ask me a lot, is what do you do about your children? How do you keep your children? You know, because my children all work hard and they love it and they do well at it. And they're asking me a lot and more about my children. And I say, you know, since they were little, since they could barely speak, I'd say no drugs, no alcohol, no cigarettes. But I tell people what's really easy, like I never had a drink, I never had a glass of alcohol. And I in all fairness, I've watched people and I study people, and I had a great, in particular, a great tutor on this. But I look and I see what it does to people when they lose control. One thing I can tell you, because I don't smoke. I mean, I have, I have some bad habits, but I don't smoke. You don't want to know what they are. Don't ask. Somebody's going to get up. Please, that would be too many people back there with those cameras. But I say to people, if you don't drink, it's so easy not to want alcohol. If you don't smoke, I watch people smoke. It looks terrible to me. You know, it's dry. It's terrible. But I have friends, they gave up smoking and they can't do it. And they look at somebody smoking, to them it's like, oh boy, I wish I could have that cigarette. You know, just that one more cigarette, then it turns out to be a disaster. But if you don't drink and if you don't take drugs, your children, meaning your children, are going to have a tremendously enhanced chance of really being successful and having a good life and having a happy life. Oh, no drugs, no alcohol, no cigarettes. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Now, I think it's kind of crazy when Donald Trump has more sense than people that are in church their whole life. And I'm not putting down Trump for that. I'm simply saying, now his oldest brother died of alcoholism. He watched his brother die. And he evidently had some tutors in his life. I'm wondering what kind of person is in a man's life who certainly his relationship with God is not that significant, at least at that point in his early life. That somebody had, I'm not talking to you about what's right and wrong. I'm talking to you about what's wise in these issues. Let me read to you from the scripture. 1 Corinthians 10 says this: everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody, everyone say nobody, nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. See, these issues, let me say it very clearly. 6 out of 7 of you likely will be able to have beer, wine, and again, some of you might be able to smoke and never get cancer. I mean, I'm serious. This is not in the Bible that this is a sin. Now, I got to tell you, oh, John Jack Daniels, a few of these, being drunk is a sin. Okay, that's clearly in the Bible. But drinking isn't. I mean, I guess you could have, you know, a shot of Jack Daniels and sip it throughout the day and it would never bother you. And you could go to dinner. You could, for 6 out of 7 people in this room, can I tell you that you probably will be able to manage these things and they'll never harm your life. But do you know that 1 out of 7 people have a propensity toward addiction? 1 out of 7. Just because something is permissible doesn't mean it's beneficial. If you have 3 children, the likelihood and the percentage is that one of those 3 children will have an addictive personality, something, a propensity toward addiction of some sort is pretty high. And if you have 3 children that each of them have 3 children, I promise you, in your children and grandchildren, it is likely guaranteed one of them will have that propensity. But here's what I know statistically. If a child is raised in a home without alcohol, and they grow up where the parents have wisdom and they protect them from environments where they're going to go and drink. I'm not talking about right or wrong, although it is illegal in our country to drink under a certain age. But here's the reality. The chances of that child, when they enter into adult life, being an alcoholic are almost zero. Apart from if they have issues of severe abuse or neglect. Now, here's a question I have for you. Is there anybody, you raise your hand if you know somebody personally connected to you in some way who suffers with addiction. Raise your hand. Okay, put your hands down. Let me ask you this, because there was one or two in the other service. Is there anyone here that doesn't know someone who's addicted, has addiction issues? Is there anyone at all? Okay. Maybe a couple people I didn't see. But let me ask you this. Is there anybody here that knows of a marriage that's been destroyed because of alcohol, drugs, or addiction? Raise your hand. Okay, let me ask, is there anybody that doesn't? Because there are. Okay, no one on that one, okay. Anybody know of marriages where adultery became an issue because the people were drinking and they let down their guard? Anybody know those issues? Raise their hand. Okay, let me ask you this one. Does anybody know someone who's dead or died prematurely because of alcohol? Raise your hand. Okay, how about this? Is anybody here that doesn't know of someone who died prematurely because of alcohol? You don't know of anybody in your life ever connected to your life because of alcohol? Anybody? Okay. So here we are sitting in a room, and there were, say, 3,000 people here this weekend. Not one person raised their hand and said they didn't know someone who is dead because of this. Dead. Graveyard dead. Now, here's the question I have for you. You might be the six out of seven that can navigate this, and it's never going to be an issue. But here's my question for you. Do you care about the seventh? And if the seventh is your child, let me tell you what people will tell you who have a child that's addicted or a loved one that's addicted. Here's what I'll tell you, the addict will tell you. Anything you can do to prevent that likelihood in their life, do it. And you say, but what about me? Do you understand when you become a Christian, what about me is not in your vernacular? He said, all things are permissible, but not all things are constructive. But he said this, no one should seek his own good, but the good of others. Your children and your grandchildren, you would give anything to go back. It's like bringing a snake into your house that's poisonous, leaving it out of its cage and teaching everybody how to manage the snake. Maybe you'll get by. But are you willing? Who is the one that can get stung in your house, in your family? Because if you've ever, and let me say this, if you're here and you are struggling with addiction, can I tell you, you're in the right church. This is a church that will fight through life with you. We have a whole ministry designed for you and your family as you fight through the issues of addiction. Jesus died for people that have issues. And by the way, addiction doesn't just go to this. Do you know how many people today are dealing with pornography as an addiction? These are things that people do to medicate their pain. Listen to what the Bible tells us that alcohol by itself can do in your life. Proverbs 20 says, wine is a mocker and beer is a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. Beer is a brawler. Go to the Steelers game tonight. It is an 8:30 start time. Do you know there are people right now working on, they are drunk now. And they are going to eat sausage and more sausage and a sandwich. And then they're going to drink. And by the time they get into that game, beer is a brawler. Again, it's not an issue of right or wrong. The drunkenness is. But here's my question for you. The question people have asked, should Christians drink, smoke, and watch R-rated movies? Here's the issue. It's not should I? It's not can I? The question is it a wisdom issue in your life? Listen to what the Bible says that people do with drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever. Proverbs 23 says, who has trouble or woe or sorrows? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? Those who linger over wine, who go sample bowls of mixed wine. Do not gaze at the wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. Your eyes will see strange sights. Is anybody like me that you weren't always a Christian? You understand what this means. And your mind will imagine confusing things. This is, how about this one? You will be like one sleeping on the high seas, lying on top of the rigging. Ooh, anybody laid in the bed and the bed started moving. But then he said this. They hit me, and you will say, but I'm not hurt. They beat me, but I don't feel it. When will I wake up so I can go find another drink? He said simply this. This can become a way of medicating your problems. You are very rarely going to find somebody addicted. I don't care if it's drugs, alcohol, pornography, you fill in the blank. But they are not trying to medicate a very deep-seated pain in their life. That's why the church, the kingdom of God, the people of God should not be about people pointing their fingers at people saying, you're bad, you're wrong with this and you're wrong with that. It's about Jesus healing the central issues of our life so that things like this don't destroy our life. Now, I personally don't drink any alcohol at all, and it's not a right or wrong. Look, I'm Italian. Are you kidding? Is it wrong? If I go out to dinner, would it be a sin for me to have a glass of wine? No. Would it be wrong? Absolutely not. I have enough body weight. I can promise you I'm not going to be drunk or impaired with a glass of wine. Now, I will tell you this. I found out that my ability to tolerate alcohol is greatly diminished because I haven't drank alcohol in years. Oh, and by the way, this is iced tea. Because listen, by the 11 o'clock, I'd be shot. But I found this out when I went on a missions trip. And I had my daughter with me, and we were at the Washington airport waiting for the other team to meet us there. And we had a long layover and overseas flight. I was able to go into one of the, you know, the areas that the airlines provide, the Admiral Clubs or whatever they're called. And they'll, you know, bring you Coke or whatever. And so I said to the lady, she didn't speak English well. I said, do you have tomato juice? And she said, no. She said, but we have Bloody Mary mix. And I said, okay. I said, can you bring me one of those? And so she brought me Bloody Mary mix. And it was just a little glass, you know. And so, I wanted more. And so I had about five or six of those. And, you know, it's like a real kind of spicy tomato juice. And so I see the team out there in the hallway. I go out to see them. And Pastor Larry Betancourt, how many of you remember Pastor Larry? You guys remember Pastor Larry with his nice New Orleans accent sees me. And he said, oh, he goes, Pastor John, your ears all red, man. What's wrong with you? Something wrong with your ears, man. They're on fire. I said, man, I don't know, Larry. I feel weird. And I slurred my words a little bit. And he's like, dude, you sick? What's up? And it hit me. I said, oh, man, I just drank five Bloody Marys. And I got to tell you, it hit me quick. It turned my ears red. It was on a missions trip. How's that? But here's the reality. Other than my issue at the airport, here's the reason I don't. Because I care more about people than my own freedoms. When I go into a restaurant as a church with, there are somewhere around just under 9,000 people that come to this church as their church. I go into a restaurant, 1 in 7 of those people have issues with addiction. And if they sit across from where their pastor is, and they see their pastor get a shot and a beer. It's real. And to be honest with you, look, well, maybe the shot might get you a little too much buzz, but the beer wouldn't, not at my size. And they watch, but they're dealing with, or they think, maybe they're not even an addict. Maybe they just, and now they think, well, man, my pastor, I could do this. And before long, this person takes my liberty into their life, and they can't handle my liberty because what is a weight to them is not a weight to me, but I don't care enough about them. I care about me. The Bible encourages you as a parent, as a leader, as a person, to think beyond yourself. These are issues that, can we all agree? I think everybody in the room knows someone who's dead because of this. I've done the funerals. I've watched where your heart is wrenched out of your body as you watch people, these precious people, bury a child or a loved one prematurely, sit in a room with parent with kids whose lives have been, I mean, devastated because of the work of alcohol and drugs in their family, devastated when because of their lowering their inhibitions, they end up in an affair with someone they, and it just devastates. And here's my, can I be blunt? I'm going to be anyway. Look, I poured a beer and had a few shots. Can I be blunt? Why anybody would put their kids at risk for something you're going to urinate out of your body blows my mind. Because if you have kids and grandkids, one of them is going to get stung by this. And here's my question. Which one means less to you than your own freedoms? See, that's what he's talking about. Look at what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 8. And when he talks about eating food here, he's talking about your freedoms, we'll see in a minute. He's actually talking about food that's been offered to an idol, not just eating any kind of food. But let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians 8 says this. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. Or God does care when you use your freedoms carelessly in a way that leads a Christian still vulnerable to those old associations to be thrown off track or off course. Verse 12 says this. When you sin against your brothers in this way, you wound their weak conscience, and then you sin against Christ. So therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I'll never eat meat again, so that I'll not cause him to fall. Now, in this case, in that culture, there were many temples that they would offer up animals, and then they would sell the meat. And the Christians were buying meat that had been offered to idols. And Paul basically was saying, it's just meat. It doesn't matter. But there were Christians who were being deeply offended by other Christians who were eating meat that had been already offered up to an idol. And they were trying to make a big deal out of, hey, is it right or is it wrong? Can I eat the meat or shouldn't I eat the meat? Paul said, it's not about what you eat. He said, as long as it's going to hurt you, I'll never eat the meat that's been offered to idols, even though I can. It's permissible, but it's not beneficial to you. This isn't a right or wrong issue. It's a love issue. It's a preferring someone more than yourself issue. Listen to what the Bible says about those in leadership when it comes to drinking. Proverbs 31, he said, what, my son of my womb, what will I advise you, son of my vows and dedication to God? Give not your strength to loose women, nor your ways to those who, and that which will ruin and destroy kings. It's not for you, kings, O Lemuel, that's Mario's brother. bad, Pastor, bad, that was a fun. It's not for you, kings. It's not for you, kings, you leaders, to drink wine, or you rulers, to drink strong drink. Why? He said, your decisions impact people. You cannot mar your capacity to choose when your choices impact other people. He said, it's very unwise. And that's, in essence, what Donald Trump was saying. Never thought I'd quote Donald Trump in church. He said, You don't want to mess your kids up unnecessarily. He said, man, you need to have your senses about you. In fact, the scripture said in 1 Timothy 3, when it refers to those serving even in the church, he said, deacons, which are those who serve in the church, likewise are to be people worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, not pursuing dishonest gain. He's saying, if you're going to lead people, if you're going to influence people, he said, well, I'm not a leader. Can I tell you this? You influence somebody that you love. And again, you might and your family might make it through and be completely unscathed by these things. And I pray they are, because I'm telling you, this is not a sin. But here's my question for you to consider. Which one of you your kids are you willing to sacrifice for this freedom? Because I promise you, if you have three kids and they have each three kids, one of them will have a propensity toward addiction. You say, well, they need to be more self-controlled. You don't understand addiction. And you will have given anything to go back and to not brought that, been the one who introduced the snake into the child's life. You'll do anything for it. And that's what wisdom is, the ability to make choices today that will not harm you tomorrow, will not bring regret tomorrow. It's all about, he's saying, listen, there are weights and sins that so easily beset us. They so easily snare us. And don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. You aren't that smart and you aren't that strong. And it's a wisdom issue to me. Finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says this as we close. So whatever you eat, whatever you drink, and whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And do not cause anyone to stumble. And then he names three people groups, whether they're Jews, Greeks, or Gentiles, or people in the church. Even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many. Now here's the reason, that they might be saved. Do you understand the journey that you're on, the path that you're on as a Christian? At the end of the day, if you don't win people to Christ, if you don't influence people to come to an eternity with Christ, then everything you will have done in your life will be burned up and it will matter nothing. Your success, your retirement, your pleasure, it won't matter. The only thing that will matter to you on the other side of this life is what did you do in this life that affected people for eternity? And Paul said, whatever you do as a believer, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, and whatever you do, he said, man, he goes, do it to the glory of God. If it isn't impacting people, if it's going to hurt somebody, then just lay it aside. Have the strength of character that love provides for you, not just your love for God and God's love for you, but God's love for you to other people. He said, love them enough that what you eat and what you drink and your own desires and your own good, he said, don't seek it first. And again, you understand, I'm not talking about you going Amish on me. I'm talking to you about wisdom. Some of you have young children and the culture, you're just asleep. The culture's lulled you on a path that you don't know the devastation that is 3, 4, 5, 10 years ahead by the decisions you're making today. And I promise you this, 4 to 10 to 12 to 15 years from today, if you don't listen to the wisdom of God for your own life, this day will come back to you. You'll remember the day. You'll remember when the thought crossed your mind, well, maybe this isn't wise to have in my life. I know some of this is no big deal. It's not against God. But maybe little Bobby or little Susie won't make it because of maybe. And you'll go, I don't want to get fanatical. And you'll remember this day. And you'll find me. And you'll say, Pastor John, please pray for me. My son, he's in rehab. Or my daughter, he just was in a car accident. She's drunk driving. Why did I listen? Do you know how many times I sat in a room with people literally taking their hair, pulling it out of their head, screaming, why did I? You don't want to be that person. My job, my responsibility to you is to provide you a context from God's word so that you understand there is nothing that God leads us to do that's for our harm, but for our good. It's not about taking enjoyment out of your life. It's about taking the vipers out of our life that mask themselves as enjoyment. And so I long for you to live a life of freedom. You know what freedom is? Is when I'm free enough in God that I don't do this for you. Because I can tell you, I'm an Italian. I'd be fine with drinking a glass of wine with my meals. Wouldn't bother me at all. It's like it comes. It's like it's a part of your last name when you're Italian. But I made a decision that, you know what? If it could hurt somebody, then why would I let something that I ingest, that I spill out of my body, have the potential of ruining someone's life that I love? And so you say no to things that other people say yes to. Can I tell you something about a simple leadership lesson as you go your way today? Leaders, people who make a difference in their life, say no to what others say yes to without thought. And if you want to get somewhere in your life that's going to make a difference, not just for you and not just for time, but for eternity, you're going to have to have the grace of God and the wisdom of God that you will learn to say no to things that people without thought say yes to. Because at the end of this day, at the end of this life, I promise you, you're going to only have one desire in your heart, that your life will have made a difference for the people that you love and the people that God loves. Nothing else will matter to you. So let me pray for you this morning together as we close. I want to pray for you because, listen, there are many people that are here right now that addiction has touched your family and touched your life. Last night, I'm so thankful the way this was communicated in that a young man who was here last night, first time here, battling addiction like crazy. He went out and he found me in the mallway and he said, "Hey man, I have problems in my life. I'm struggling with addiction. And you said this church will help me. How can I get help?" And we told him about Victory Group. And I said, "You listen to me. I've told people this again and again and again. I mean, I've had people, "Oh, I struggle with addiction." Listen, if you're drunk, come to church. If you just got high, get someone to drive you. Don't drive yourself. Come to church. See, but man, they're stoned. They don't belong here. You belong here. Breathe. If you're breathing, you belong. And God wants to do something great in your life. If you've ever needed help, if you've ever needed God's people to wrap their arms around you, it's when the viper of addiction has begun to poison and steal the very reason you live. If you struggle with addiction, this church is here for you. We love you. We're glad you're here. If it's someone in your family, we'll fight through life with you. We will weep with you when it's time to weep, and we will mourn with you when it's time to mourn. But ultimately, we want to rejoice with you when we see Jesus set you free or the people that you love. That's what this is about. Father, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice, no matter what they may be dealing with, no matter what they may be battling, no matter what area of their life. Maybe these are areas they've navigated well, and it's never been of consequence to them. But Lord, for the people in this room that are the one in seven, Lord, I pray that you speak into their hearts and their lives encouragement right now, that they realize this is a place of freedom where you can make men and women free. And I pray for all of us, whether we are people that have a propensity toward addiction or not, whatever that addiction may be, pornography, whatever, that we would lay it at the feet of Jesus and say, "Father, help me to walk in the freedom that belongs to me. Help me not to medicate my pain through these things that will cause me more harm and isolation and damage, not just to me, but to the people that I love." Father, I pray that over your people that you love so desperately. As every head remains bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, if you were to draw your final breath and slip into an eternity, do you know where you'd spend it? With every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, "Pastor, please pray for me. I want to know Jesus as the Lord of my life. I want to be included in making Christ in that prayer, the Lord of my life. Pray for me. I don't know what would happen to me if I died, but I want to know because I believe Jesus died for my sins and I want to make him the Savior of my life." With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you'd say, "Please include me in that prayer." Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I will pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you. Right where you're seated, would you just simply raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Do it right now. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. If you raised your hand, or you should have, one last moment, please include me in that prayer, Pastor John, with those many that have raised their hand. Thank you. If you raised your hand, or you should have, please pray this out loud where you hear it with your own ears. Jesus will come into your heart. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. At the end of the service, Pastor Steve will give you your next steps. And you keep coming back. You come back next week and you let God do something great in your soul. And you let people love you and care for you. And we can fight through life and win through life together. Let me pray for every one of you that raised your hand. Or if you should have, pray this out loud together with all of us. Say it where you hear it. Say, "Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound and I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen." Give them a hand, would you? Best decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.